It's Classical Spotlight, and in the Texas Public Radio studios is Emily Freudigman. Good afternoon.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. We're excited about the Camerata Recital coming up Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Christ Church here in San Antonio. This is something that you guys do. It's neat. I'm looking forward to the Brahms coming up, and we've enjoyed lots of string quartets already this season and some quintets. How nice is it for you to, is this your first Camerata recital?
This is my first Camerata recital, and I came to the realization when we decided that I was going to do it this time around, that I have not done a full recital since my master's degree at the University of Michigan, and that's been over 10 years now. So I'm very excited to get to create a program and put it all together and have it all rest on me and my piano partner.
We love hearing Carolyn. We see her at Soli, and she's got this awesome piano duo. And I know you guys have actually played before in the summers, right? Have you guys collaborated before?
Yeah, we've done little concerts here and there. She actually performed on our series way back in our first season, and it's just very difficult to coordinate schedules. She's so busy and we're so busy. So I was so glad to have the opportunity to that the schedules worked out for her and I to perform this together.
Well, I think it's a real delight to hear these different pieces with a viola and piano. How did you, I mean, Schumann's maybe an easy choice. Is this what you're going to start your recital with?
I think so. That's still kind of up in the air, even at this point. We're moving things around a little bit. But the Schumann is a piece that I love, and I have performed it before. It was important to me that this recital have some pieces that I'd never performed, but also some pieces that I have. It's always fun to come back to something and look at it through new eyes. The Schumann it's from 1851. It's really late work when he was in Dusseldorf. Not long before he entered the institution, and it's called Fairy Tales. Fairy Tale Pictures is, I guess, the full translation of the title. They're not specific fairy tales, unfortunately. Although Wikipedia seems to think that there are some specific fairy tales, like the third movement is Rumpelstiltskin with the great. Busy spiccato action in the viola, kind of scary and monstrous. But I'm very excited to perform it again.
I just saw a very cool Wes Anderson film called Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes.
And it uses Benjamin Britten throughout. There's this sort of fun scenes with a young person's guide, and they use the Simple Symphony, all this pizzicato. It's very fun, and they do this Noah's Flood thing. And Benjamin Britten's got this big year coming up in 2014 for a celebration, which I can't wait for the, you know, world. I can't wait to see what happens with it. But his Lacrimae, Benjamin Britten to me has this wonderful modern sense, but also he sort of keeps this sort of traditional British. I hear it and I go, there, despite it having different tonalities, there's still to me a little bit of that Englishness to it.
Yes. And you can't have a viola recital without something English. It's a very interesting piece to me in that it's a kind of a reverse theme in variations. We don't actually hear the theme that all the variations are based upon until the very end. It's uncovered. And he based the Lacrimae on a song of John Dowland called If My Complaints Could Passions Move. And I think that ties it in very nicely to the Prokofiev Romeo and Juliet. Also, the period that Dowland is from also ties in very nicely.
Indeed, Prokofiev, there's like Italian leather, there's Cuban cigars, and there's Russian ballet. You know, there's just something about it, you know. And so it's got to be fun. I know these are arrangements, and Prokofiev himself actually did some piano arrangements. Are these something that the violist said, oh, we just have to play these and arrange some of the scenes for?
Yes. These were arranged by a Russian violist called Vadim Borisovsky. He was the violist of the Beethoven Quartet, which premiered 13 out of 15 Shostakovich quartets. Also, Shostakovich dedicated quartet number 13 to Borisovsky. He's kind of considered the founder of the Russian viola school, that, you know, big sound and impeccable technique. But in addition to being a great performer and an amazing chamber musician and a viola pedagogue, he was Yuri Bashmet's teacher, he was a composer. And he saw in these Prokofiev, in this ballet, he saw the opportunity for a great set of viola pieces. And violists are always looking for something to add to the repertoire. He had Prokofiev's full permission and support in producing these transcriptions. And he transcribed maybe 16 numbers, something like that, from the ballet, you know, from the beginning to the end. They're difficult to find, all of them. And the most widely available are generally from the first act. So I've chosen six from the first act, and I like to leave it happy. We'll pretend that the second act never happens.
I guess there's rumors. Originally in the ballet, Prokofiev had them living at the end, and,
yes.
And someone said, "Oh, you can't do that to Shakespeare."
Yes.
Oh, fun. We're speaking with Emily Freudigman from Camerata San Antonio and the San Antonio Symphony. She's performing Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Christ Episcopal Church. We're looking forward to the recital at 3. On the program is Darius Milhaud, who he's sort of like the Telemann of the 20th century. He wrote so much. I mean, it's amazing. And so this is a piece I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, the first sonata is... It's a neoclassical work from 1944. He was actually living in the States at the time that he wrote. He wrote two viola sonatas kind of back to back. They were both written in the States. The first is, like I said, it's a neoclassical work. It's based on unpublished and anonymous themes of the 18th century, which is probably code for Milhaud's own themes, but he treats them in a very Bachian way. First and third movements are absolutely gorgeous. The third movement especially is very simple and just heartbreakingly beautiful. Second and fourth movements are, your typical Baroque sonata, fast, and lots of little notes and clarity and articulation. Lots of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's a viola and piano recital coming up with Carolyn True and Emily Freudigman. I know it gets busy this time of year. There's Nutcracker, there's Messiah. I'm looking forward to this sort of Baroque series.
Yes.
I think your husband's going to be playing a cello solo with this group, which will be really fun. And I also know that you are very involved teaching and work with kids from the youth orchestras of San Antonio with YOSA. How important is that to sort of pass on? I think one of the very first times we met, I saw your teacher actually from Michigan.
Yes.
Come here, and it was really neat. I was like, wow, San Antonio is still happening. how important is that to sort of teach? And is this a way for your students to sort of see that, you know, you put your, you know, viola where your mouth is? Or
absolutely,
so to speak?
Absolutely. You know, there's only so much that you can communicate as a teacher. A lot has to be learned in observing performances. And I encourage my students to go to symphony concerts and chamber music concerts and recitals whenever they can. There's been a wealth of viola recitals this year. I think that's one of the signs of the apocalypse. So my students have had lots of opportunities to hear violists in action. But there really is nothing like seeing your own teacher perform. And I work with the students at the youth orchestras quite a bit. I teach there in the summers, and I do sectionals during the year. And it's important for me that they can see that what I'm telling them in their sectionals, I do it too. Carolyn and I have just performed on Monday a preview concert for YOSA students and for Trinity students. A preview of the recital, since, you know, the YOSA students can't come on Sundays because they're rehearsing. They're busy rehearsing, as they should be. So that was very important to me that I create an opportunity for the YOSA students to come here.
Well, I know we're looking forward to it going to have a good crowd, I bet, Sunday afternoon. Folks can find out more information online, right? They can get tickets there and,
yes,
and whatnot. And it's cameratasa.org, right?
That's right.
And then, of course, if you're running late, you can get tickets at the door.
Yes.
All right. Well, Emily Freudigman, it's so good to have you here in the studios, and we hope you'll come back.
Thank you. Great to be here.